the risk involved with prescription drug abuse. And she says that it's connected to ongoing crimes, and until better care facilities are available, the problem will not be getting better anytime soon. And Amy Graves joins us on the phone this evening from the Annapolis Valley. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
So even though police have now laid charges in connection with your brother's death, you've decided to keep this going, haven't you?
Most definitely. I still get the calls. I still get the emails every day from parents that have lost their children, people who are struggling with abuse, and just horrible, sad stories that I can't really let go.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that someone like yourself is there to deal with these and console those people who are coming to you and hopefully offer some help. You had a call the other day from a woman named Melanie Sterrett who has a friend who was having problems because of his addiction to prescription drugs.
Yes, it's actually a really sad story because this young man, he was on the methadone program, and obviously the methadone program wasn't working for him because he was, according to Melanie, still doing prescription drugs via needles. So it boggles my mind that someone who's in a treatment program would get to the point of desperation to even need to go to a detox, let alone rob a gas station later on that evening.
Yeah, and you say that, again, many robberies in and around the Annapolis Valley can be traced to this very issue, this addiction to prescription drugs.
Most definitely, especially the pharmacy robberies. It's pretty obvious. The Berwick Pharmacy has been robbed a total of, well, four times the pharmacy and once the tobacco shop on the side. So that building's been robbed five times since January 2012. So we're going on, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
And five times at one location, and nobody has been... No charges have been laid in any of the robberies.
We chatted, I think it was last week before, with Chief Mark Mandra from the Kentville Police Department, who is, well, frustrated at what is going on there. And he points the finger of blame directly at the health minister. And I know you've had your run-ins with the government and the health minister as well in regards to your sense that they're not doing enough to deal with these kinds of issues.
Definitely. I really think it's not just the health minister, too. I think all the ministers... education, there's justice. Everybody really needs to be accountable for every piece of the puzzle they hold. And I know not one person is accountable. So therefore, you know, everybody needs to work together and work on their piece of the puzzle. And, you know, hopefully we can get a tackle on this situation. I really think, though, the young people need to be educated. They still don't, a lot of people don't realize the dangers of mixing prescription drugs and alcohol. We just had an overdose in Bridgewater on Super Bowl Sunday. 19-year-old boy, Brandon Wenzel, diluted in alcohol. I had his mother call me last week, just heartbroken. No charges have been laid in that case. The anniversary of my brother's death this year, there was a young man who had to go to the ICU because he combined Dilaudid and alcohol and was unresponsive the next morning. He was in Kingston. So these are just, in the past, you know, week and a half, stories I've come across personally.
Well, one has to wonder, though, I mean, with the kind of media coverage that you've been given, for example, and the other stories in regards to the risks of prescription drug abuse, especially in combination with alcohol. I mean, why are kids still doing this then?
I don't know. I don't, you know what, me and you, we listen to the nightly news and we listen to Rick Howe and stuff, but you know, the 14, 15-year-old kids, even as young as 13 that are doing it, they are not immersing themselves in this as much as the rest of the public. And that's why I really think there needs to be something in school that's mandatory, you know. When I was in high school, they had the DARE program, and the police officer came in with the board, and it had cocaine, ecstasy, heroin, marijuana on it, and he pointed each one out, showed us what it looked like and what it could do to us. Not once did I ever have someone come in my classroom and say, this is an OxyContin pill, this is a Dilaudid pill. If you mix this with alcohol, it will kill you. If you do this, you know, a few weekends, you will become addicted, and it can lead to IV drug use. Another thing, too, I've been hearing a lot about is an increase in hepatitis C in the area from people sharing needles. We don't have a needle exchange. Not that, I mean, that's a huge step, but just to think about, too, what are all these users doing with their dirty needles? have a place to bring them back. So there's a lot of issues we need to consider.
And there's no needle exchange in the valley?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I've had actually a few complaints lately of people saying that they have nowhere to take their dirty needles. And, you know, I had a woman actually tell me that her friend was just recently diagnosed with hepatitis C, early 20s, and thought that actually he apparently was using clean needles and didn't realize that sharing spoons and other materials could get him infected. So she messaged me saying, hey, we need education, too, about, you know, the dangers of IV drug use. Because people think, oh, if I buy a clean needle from a drugstore, I'm okay. And then they share a dirty spoon, and they all have hepatitis C. Everyone's just so undereducated on the problem. The addicts, the doctors, the teachers, the police officers. We just really need to make sure everybody is aware of this stuff so they can do their jobs accordingly.
Well, you wrote a note, I guess, recently to Nova Scotia's Education Minister, Ramona Jennings, who is an MLA from the Annapolis Valley, pointing out this very thing, suggesting that there should be more education within our schools, but you also somewhat critical of her because she's really not replied to some of your comments.
Yes. I will say I email her on a weekly basis like I email everybody for the past year. I email you. I email Mark Mander. I email anybody who has, you know, kind of a piece to the puzzle.
Well, just let me say that you're right. We do get a good deal of emails from you.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't expect everyone to respond to every single email. But I can honestly say in a year of sending Ramona the emails that I send you and everybody else, I've only had one response, and it was about four sentences long. And it just told me, thank you for, I sent her a drug documentary and told her, hey, maybe this is a good thing that can get into our local schools. It was just implemented in all the Florida schools. I know the people who made it. So they would sell it to the school board for $10 a copy. I mean, that's pennies to the government.
Really?
And I just received, maybe we'll think about it. It's under review. And that was in January. And that's the only thing in 1 year I've heard from the education side.
Well, initially, your pleas for a reinvestigation of your brother's death fell on deaf ears, but your persistence, Amy Graves, certainly paid off. And, the news just recently that the case was reopened and charges were laid. So maybe you just got to keep harping away at the minister and other members of the government.
Yeah, nobody said this would be easy, and I didn't expect it to be, but I'm definitely not going to give up. As long as this is an issue, I will make sure my voice is heard.
And we mentioned the chat with Chief Mander, who not only, again, was a little critical of the provincial government's response to this issue, but doctors as well, and says somebody's, allowing these people to get their hands on these prescriptions, and perhaps doctors are over-prescribing these drugs. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, how are these people having constant supplies of these medications? And, I mean, it's nice to think that this person who gave my brother might be taken off the street and charged, and, you know, we won't have to worry about him anymore. But he wasn't the one diverting the legal prescription. He was the guy on the very bottom who was an addict himself, moving these pills for somebody else who was getting them filled for their doctor. So there's going to be another one right behind him to fill his spot until we get a tackle on the overprescribing. And the diverted prescriptions, I feel like we're creating more addicts than we can treat. And we're on a downward slope right now, it seems.
So what, we've got about a minute left here, Amy. What needs to happen now then?
Oh, I think there really needs to be just a real investigation into the prescriptions in the Annapolis Valley. I really think there needs to be kind of some sort of an inquest from an outside, you know, source, and unbiased too, you know, not the health authority.
But do we limit it to the Valley? Because this is a problem, you know, right across the province and indeed next door in New Brunswick as well, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. It's everybody. I know Prescription Monitoring puts out a memo once a year with the top 10 prescribers in Nova Scotia and lets those doctors know they're in the top 10. I really think that list should be made public. I mean, or at least public to the, you know, the police, the other people that have to deal with the overprescribing issue, so they can
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Amy, listen, as always, I appreciate you taking a few moments to chat with us here.
No problem. Thanks for keeping this issue in the public light.
Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye. Amy Graves from the Valley. And on that note, thank you for tuning us in on this Tuesday. And let's do it again tomorrow. Hope you join us. Same bad time, same bad channel. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Mooseheads hockey. Can the Mooseheads sweep? We'll see tonight with John Moore. For Jennifer Casey, I'm Rick Howe. Have a great night. And remember, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
The Moose are on the loose and in the postseason. Your home for live playoff action with the Halifax Mooseheads is News 95.7.
Lately, I have no sex drive. I'm told that Anastasia at Quinpool Wellness Center might help me find out why.
Absolutely. I'd begin with a consultation designed to show us where to investigate further. You may require hormone testing along with an exploration of your adrenal function. You may also require heavy metal or allergy testing.
What treatments could I expect?
Some of the treatments we recommend include bioidentical hormone therapy, vitamins and supplements, lifestyle and dietary changes.
What else do you offer?
We compound topical and oral pain medications, and we customize compounds for people with sensitivities to additives and preservatives.
Can I have my regular prescriptions filled at Quinpool Wellness Center too?
Oh yes, definitely. All our prescription customers also receive a 20% discount on regularly stocked over-the-counter products.
Quinpool Wellness Center at the Medicine Shop, online at quinpoolwellness.com. Quinpool Wellness Center, so much more than a pharmacy.
Hi, I'm Haley Whitman. My mom is an owner at Race Auto Group. You know, where they guarantee the lowest price? I've been doing these commercials for a while, and she says it's working great. So I think I should get a puppy as a thank you. What do you think? If you agree that I should get a puppy, please tell my mom, Lori Whitman, at Race Auto Group, 692 Windmill Road, Dartmouth, and online at raceautogroup.com. Remember, they guarantee the best price.
This is Senior Business Editor Mike Eppel.
And I'm Parliament Hill reporter Cormac McSweeney. Join us on Thursday for complete coverage of Federal Budget 2012.
We'll bring you all of the details when Finance Minister Jim Flaherty unveils the plan for government spending, taxation, and deficit reduction.
And all of the political intrigue as the Conservative government introduces the first austerity budget in almost two decades.
That's all coming up Thursday on News 95.7.
It's game time. Welcome to Moose Country. News 95.7 is proud to be